did. Please join me, if you will, in prayer. Well, Father, we thank you that when things look dark and things look like we're in trouble, when it looks like you're nowhere around, when it looks like, Lord, you've forgotten us, we know the truth of Scripture that says you are still working even then. Thank you that you're an all-powerful God who can, who cares, and who does. Thank you for being that God in our life. And now, Father, it's possible that in this room there's some folks struggling with some really big issues. Maybe some health issues, some sickness issues. Maybe family members are struggling or sick. And they need to know that you will make a way through the sickness. That, God, you are there with them, and you will walk with them, and you will be with them. Father, I pray you comfort them through the person of the Holy Spirit today. Lord, there's some folks here today asking the broader questions of life. Why am I here? Where am I going? Is there a God? How do I know his address? And Lord, the only way they find that answer is for you, Holy Spirit, to awaken within them faith to believe. So we're asking you now, in the name of Jesus, that you awaken dead souls, dead spirits to life, as only you can do. Lord, if there's some folks here who are struggling with priorities, they've got them all messed up. The things that are temporary have become eternal, and the things that are eternal have become non-considered. Lord, I pray you would flip their priorities over and realign them. Help them, Lord, put it right. And now, Father, as we look to your word, we pray that you were pleased with what's said and done. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Good morning. And let me echo what Ryan said. Thank you for setting your clock ahead. All right, you know, I've been doing this for 30 years, and I can tell you, this is one of the Sundays that we struggle with the most to get all the folks together in the fellowship. So thank y'all so much for being here. We're so happy to see you. Grace Kids, where are you? Grace Kids, let's tell them we love them. Let's tell them we love them. They are awesome. They are great. JD has them today. JD, you're assistant principal now, right? So you know how to handle this. All right, there you go. He has it. Absolutely. That is wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. Number of weeks ago, we started a series on fellowship. We're talking through our values. I won't go through them all again, but you see them. They're hanging on our walls. These are things that we believe are true, know that are true, and we want to emulate, because we believe if we emulate these things well, that we advance the gospel in profound ways. So we want to do that. So we've been talking the last few weeks about fellowship. And fellowship, our verse is Hebrews 10:25, that says, "Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as some are in the habit of doing, but come together encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." We just believe that as we gather together as a fellowship, we build courage into each other. Because here's what we know. On Monday morning, the world will try to suck the courage out of you to live for the Lord. Amen? We just know that that's true. So when we come together as a fellowship, our goal every week is that you leave encouraged, that you leave built up, that you leave ready and able to live better starting on Monday morning. And that sometimes is really, really hard to do. And so we come together to try to build that into your life. So today, we're going to be talking about one of those things that should bind us together. It's a common spiritual practice. It's something everybody in this room has done. Everybody in this room has done this. And it's pray. Everybody in this room has prayed. Now, some of us has prayed, I mean, this prayer, I mean, this is all you can get out of your mouth. God help. Anybody ever pray that one? God help! I mean, usually when you're driving or your kids are driving. I mean, maybe, I don't know. But something like that. I mean, you just sometimes you can just get that out of your mouth, right? Just, hey, God, help. But prayer is a unifying reality within the church. Now, here's what happened. Jesus had his apostles, his 12 closest followers, and they were moving along early in Jesus' ministry. And because they knew Jesus was something different, he was a rabbi, but he was different. They knew that he was qualitatively different than any other rabbi that had, you know, wandered out of the desert into the synagogue to teach. They knew he was different. So they asked him something really profound. They said, "Jesus, teach us how to pray." Now, if you're going to follow God, it would help to know how to communicate with God, right? That just sort of makes sense. You want to know how to listen, how to communicate, and what goes on. So these people asked him, said, "Jesus, teach us how to pray." And Jesus said, "Okay, I'm going to give you the model prayer. This is the prayer and the thoughts and the realities that I want you to work through. This is how you're to pray. If you really want to know how to pray, this is it." And so in Matthew chapter 6, we're going to walk through very quickly the Lord's Prayer. Now, some of you were raised in churches where you did this every week. How many people come from a tradition where you prayed the Lord's Prayer on a regular basis, right? So you don't even need to probably turn to Matthew chapter 6. You probably already know it. But for those of you who don't know it, by the Lord's Prayer or the Model Prayer, it's also called the Our Father. So you can, it's called all three different things. And really, Model Prayer is probably the best way to describe it, because this is the model on how everybody of the fellowship, everybody who's called together for the purpose of the gospel, all believers everywhere, this is how we're to pray. And so here's what Jesus said. He starts by saying this, Our Father in heaven. He starts by saying, Our Father. Two words that are profound. One is our. That is a statement Jesus said. When you pray Our Father, it is a collective term. It is a term that binds us together. It's a term that refers to every believer everywhere who's going to pray. When we begin to pray Our Father, we're joining with people on the plains of Africa under a tree who maybe don't even have a copy of God's word, but a missionary has taught them how to pray. And as a missionary teaches them how to pray, this is going to be what they teach them to pray. And they're going to be under that tree and they're going to pray Our Father. We are spiritually united with them because of the commonality of our spiritual father. And so we will pray Our Father. Think about it. The people in Europe right now, in the cathedrals and the churches, and they're praying Our Father. We're connected with them. Our. The people in different states, the people that worship with a different name on the front of their building, the people that dress differently, that sing different songs, that have different looking ministers, probably you're way better than me, no comments please, right? So, right, you know different environments, but they're going to pray Our Father. Jesus said there is a collective term. There is this united reality, this coming together in fellowship and in prayer, and it's going to be contained in this prayer where we say Our Father. Now, that also means one thing because of the word Father. There is a specific God to whom we pray. This isn't a to whom it may concern. This isn't just throwing it out there, hey, if you're up there, God, catch this and thank you, right? It isn't that. This is a clear reality that there is a Father. Now, by using this phrase Father, he is specific. He's defined. You can know him. It's a relational idea. God is your father. Now, here's what I know is true. Some of you in this room didn't have good earthly fathers. And psychologically, there's this thing we do called transference, and this is how it works. If we have a bad experience down here, if we have a bad father down here, then if someone claims to be our father, we will transfer all the negative ideas, memories, and thoughts that we have onto that other person. Okay, that's sort of called transference. We do that sometimes inadvertently with God. If we've had a bad earthly father, then we say, obviously, this heavenly father can't be that good either. So we transfer to him all the bad things that we know about our earthly father. Now, some of you had really good earthly fathers, so it's been really easy for you to make that transference to a heavenly father. But if you're in the A category, which is sort of where I was, here's what you got to do. You've got to reprogram your mind. You have to get in the Word and allow the Word to teach you differently about who your heavenly father is. If your earthly father was abusive, your heavenly father is not. The scripture says that. If your earthly father abandoned you, your heavenly father won't. By the way, God doesn't kick his kids out of the family. Are you with me? Now, I've wanted to sell mine, you know, but I want them back, you know, in a while, right? But, you know, I definitely want to do that. But you don't kick them out. Your heavenly father, you're saying, but my earthly father kicked me out. He abused me. Your heavenly father won't do that. And the only way you learn it is to by learn the character of God through his word. That's how you learn it. Get in the Bible and let God's word reprogram your thinking. And the second thing you can do to reprogram your mind is to pray. Really pray. Get before the Lord and pray, and then be still and listen. And the Holy Spirit will speak to you about the glorious realities of who your heavenly Father is and how he is qualitatively different than anything you've ever known or dreamed of. Anything you've ever imagined, your heavenly Father is bigger and better and beyond. He is different, but you'll never get there. You will never make that turn. Never, you'll never make the turn if you don't get in the Word and if you don't pray. Those are the two things you must do to reprogram your mind and program your life. You got to do it. So we'll begin to pray. Our Father. That word Father talks about the caring, loving, connected reality of God. He is an individual, singular God that you can know and that knows you. and that loves you no matter what. Like, wait a minute, you don't know what I did last night. Well, guess what? I don't want to know, but God knows, and he still loves you. You're saying, well, how does that work? Well, I'm not God, so I don't know, but I think it has something to do with this word over here. Grace. I think it has a whole lot to do with that. That he loves you, and he cares about you, and he's connected to you. So when we pray how Jesus taught us to pray, when we pray our Father, then we come to the second phrase, who is in heaven. Now, we think of heaven as a place, you know, gold streets, big mansions, all that kind of business. That's really not what Jesus is referring to here. He's referring to a position, and his position is above and beyond everything that's here. When we pray our Father who is in heaven, we're praying to our Father who is above and beyond creation. We're praying to a God who is not subject to the world, but rules and reigns over the world. We're praying to a God who can do anything, who cares infinitely, who is connected with us because he's our Father, and he has the power to transform and change any life, any circumstance, any situation. When we pray to our Father as heaven, we're talking about heaven as a place of power, authority, and enthronement. We're talking about a God who is above all things. What are you facing today? What scares you right now? You have a God above your fear. What is gripping you and sucking the joy out of your life? You have a God who is above that. What is causing you to stumble and struggle in your faith walk? You have a God who's enthroned above all that, who can help you if you just ask. He is our Father in heaven, in that place of power and authority, that place that he can help. It's so amazing at the greatness of God. Rudolf Otto, a German theologian, says it like this. He said, God is so wholly other than us that we experience what's called the noumena and the sense of awe, the spirit that produces the awesome mystery. Isn't that cool? Sounds smart, doesn't it? Right? I didn't say that. Rudolf Otto did. Right? It's that God is so big, and through the person of the Holy Spirit, we experience this mystery and this sense of awe that the Spirit of God brings into our life because he is different. Now, Jesus says the next thing in the prayer, that if we don't get right, we don't get to understand the awesomeness of God fully. And he says this, hallowed be your name. That word hallowed is a specific religious word. It means that it is separate and sacred, that it is to be revered and it's holy. But here's why we're robbed of the majesty of God and the mysterium tremendum de fascinans, as Rudolf Otto would say later, the great mystery that defines us and confounds us. And why we miss this stuff in our life is because God has become too common. His name has become defamed. How many of us are old enough? Some of us in here are not old enough, but some of us are old enough to remember when you would never hear God's name on TV. How many remember that? How many of you don't want to raise your hand because it admits you're old? All right, okay, right. So, yeah, I mean, absolutely. We remember when if you heard God's name taken in vain on TV, the FCC would be calling ABC, get that program off the air. Get it off the air. And they would. But today, people take God's name in vain religiously. They do. It's all the time. God's name is defamed and downgraded profoundly. There was a problem that happened in England back about 150 years ago. It's called the downgrade controversy. And what basically went on is the people of England became so common and familiar with God's name that they began to take it in vain. They began to view God's word less than what it was, and the churches began to get weak and crumble and not advance the gospel. It started to really impact the culture and society as a whole. Well, preachers like Charles Spurgeon and others rose up to reclaim the importance of God's name, to reclaim the importance of Scripture, and to advance it, and the culture was turned, and the churches grew. I'm afraid in America, we've become so casual and entitled to the name of God that we defame it. We defame the name of God. And therefore, we rob ourselves of being positioned to experience the greatness and the mystery and the glory of his presence. Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, position of power and authority and greatness, hallowed be your name. Now, because those things are true, because he is great, because he's expansive, because he is all-powerful, because he is all-loving, because he has unbelievable grace and love for us, because he is smarter than all of us collectively in this room, because his will is greater than all of us in this room, because he is that kind of God, we then naturally pray the rest of the prayer. Now, if you don't buy what I just said, A, you'll never buy B. So if you don't buy God as all that and then some, you're not going to pray the rest of it. You're going to regulate it to being unimportant. But if you believe God is that great, if you believe God is that holy, if you believe God is that magnificent, if you believe God is that powerful, if you believe God is that deserving, if you believe that, and we do here at Grace, right, then praying the rest of the prayer is natural. Listen to what the rest of it is. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Because you are all of that, God, and then some, because we don't really have the words to articulate your greatness. Because you're all of that, we're going to pray, your kingdom come. Now, what does that mean? It's simple. It means that we're asking God's rules, regulations, values, and authority to become real on planet Earth as it is in heaven. Now, think about it for a minute. What would it be like if no one lied anymore? We'd all be, out of tax money, right? I'm just joking. Right? I mean, what would it be like if we didn't lie anymore? What would it be like if we forgave quickly? What would it be like if we loved unconditionally? Are you getting the picture? Everybody who's hurt you, look at me. Everybody that has hurt you, that you are hoarding and harboring bitterness and anger and resentment toward right now, what would happen if they would call you on the phone this afternoon and say, I'm sorry, please forgive me? What would happen? What would happen if they didn't call but you offered the forgiveness anyway? What would happen if you had a need and a brother or a sister knew of that need and they could swipe you a check if it was fixed with money? Not every problem is, but some problems are, right? If it could be fixed with money, if they would swipe you a check and say, hey, no strings attached, you're a part of the fellowship, this is what we do. What would it be like if that was normal? What would it be like if kindness and love and gentleness and self-control were common among the people of God? What would it be like if politicians would lose their hair if they lied? I was a politician and I'm going bald. I have a problem. What would it be like if God's kingdom came? Wouldn't it be different? So, if you buy into the first part of the prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. If you buy into it that God is one God and you can know him, you can know his address, that he is great, awesome, powerful. He is a wonderful God, all loving, all kind, all gracious. He can do anything. He cares and he gets. If you buy into that and you really believe that, which I do and I hope you do, and if you do, then it's natural to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Okay, now here's how that works. Thy will is this. There are issues in our life that come up that we need wisdom and direction. There are. Every one of us in this room are going to need that. Doesn't matter how old you are, how smart you are, how much you've lived. There will come a point in your life, even at this point on, where you're going to need some wisdom and direction and guidance from someone else. Someone outside of you needs to look at your life, speak into your life, areas of brokenness, areas of issues, areas of struggle, areas of decision. You're going to need that, and you're going to need that direction, and you're going to be looking for a will. Now, here's the deal. You're either going to pray and go before God with 15 reasons why God should agree with you. How many of you have ever prayed that way? God, here's 7 reasons why you should get on my team. Boom. And you list them out. Bam, 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 bam. And then, you don't like those 7? I've got another 7 right here. Wham. Okay. So how many of us has gone before God with our list of why God should agree with us? See, if we really believe God is who he is, if we really believe that, that we go before God knowing that he loves us more than we love ourselves. He cares about us more than we care about ourselves. He has a plan for us better than anything we could come up with. He knows the end before the beginning because he's transcendent. He's in that heavenly place, transcendent above and beyond time, where all time is ever present before him. He is up there that big and that huge. So why not, if we really buy into that, why not just go before the Lord? Lord, I got a decision. Here's the situation. I need your will. I need your will imposed in my life. And I use the word imposed for me. You may not need the word imposed. That's a strong word. But here's why I use the word imposed. Because I'm hard-headed. Anybody else with me on that? Y'all are all lying in church. Raise your hand. Stop lying in church. We all are hard-headed sometimes. It's a human condition. And I need God sometimes to put up this big, huge, massive billboard that says, Terry, turn here. Okay, now is that me or is that another Terry or is that some Terry yet to be born and it's going to stay here for 40 years and they're going to drive by? I mean, what? Who is this talking? I need sometimes God to impose his will on me because if not, I miss it. So Jesus says, pray this way. Our Father, all that contains, who art in heaven, with all that means. Hallowed be your name, with all that that means. Because of that, I am going to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then he goes on and he says this, and we'll end pretty quickly. He says, give us this day our daily bread. Now, here's what was interesting. 2,000 years ago, the Roman government had a thing called daily bread. And what they would do is they would make this really cheap type of bread, and they would drive into the poor areas of town and sometimes with the slaves, and they would pass out this daily bread. And it's what they did, particularly around certain festivals and feast days. So Jesus knew that, obviously. He lived in a Roman province. He understood that would be true. And so when he taught people to pray, he said, look, pray this. Don't pray, God, help the government give me my daily bread. That's not what he prayed. He prayed, Lord, you give us our daily bread. Now, you can do that through providing income. You can do that through the fellowship, because we've already talked about this, and we're going to actually talk about this next week, just a little bitty bit. Talk about one another next week, and then we'll end on our fellowship talks. But we're going to talk about one another, how we're to treat one another. One of the things about one another, if we see a brother or a sister hurting, we're to help them. We're to give to them. We're to help them in their need. So pray this. Pray, give us this day our daily bread. Don't let us be dependent upon a state and a government that ignores you, that doesn't know you, that doesn't love you, that doesn't revere you. Help us to be dependent on you and connected to the fellowship for our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. There are ministries across the globe right now that specialize in clean drinking water for Christians. Now, we take clean drinking water for granted. I mean, I went to Hitchcock's and bought 24 bottles of water for $2 yesterday, right? Something like that. And we just take it for granted. But there are believers, listen to me, people who pray our Father and they don't have water to drink. Some of them don't have bread to eat. And so they pray as they were taught, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Ever think about that? There are people connected with us because they're of the fellowship. They've been called out of the confusion. Remember Caesarea Philippi, worshiping the goat god and all that business? Remember all that? They were called out of that. And they were placed into Koinonia, the partnering with a purpose family, the fellowship. And they are praying for daily bread. When you give, we need to know we're actively looking for ministries now. Our church is still young, 5 years. We're still developing our philosophy of ministry and who we're going to connect with. But we're looking hard right now for ministries to connect with that provide clean water and food for believers across the world. I know of some, and I'll be contacting them in the coming weeks. But we're looking for that. Because as I was studying this and thinking through this, it hit me. These other believers are part of our fellowship. I mean, they're not a part of Grace here at 2400 St. John's, but they're part of our family. They're part of us. And we need to care. And we do. So Jesus said, when we pray, give us this day our daily bread. And then finally, he says this. And forgive us of our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Now this word debt in some Bibles are translated transgressions. Forgive us of our transgressions as we forgive those who transgress against us. Okay, basically means sin. It can be translated sort of either way. The problem with translating ancient language isn't understanding what the ancient language says, but it's understanding what word to use today that most approximates to it. So that's where the problem comes. And so sometimes transgression works, sometimes debt works. You can put sin in there, that'll work. So basically what Jesus is saying is ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins and forgive those who've wronged you. Because no doubt people have wronged you, and no doubt you've wronged God, and you want forgiveness, so you ought to give forgiveness. Sounds sort of fair, doesn't it? If we've been forgiven, we ought to forgive very freely. One of the things that ties us up when we don't forgive others is we fail to remember how profoundly and how completely we needed forgiveness ourselves. See, if we remember that, then it's a whole lot easier to forgive others. And we all are on an equal playing field with that. I have offended people that needed to forgive me. People have offended me that I've needed to forgive. But corporately, we have all offended God, to whom we beg for forgiveness. So Jesus says, when you pray, ask the Lord to forgive you. Well, Terry, I'm not really ready to talk to the Lord about that. Sort of wish I could push the delete button on that one from last night. Well, you can. And oh, by the way, cat's out of the bag, God knew what you did anyway. Oh, can I make it a little bit more frustrating? He knew what you were going to do before you did it. So just come clean. Just be honest. But I can't talk to the Lord like that. Did you hear what I just said? He already knows. Your prayer isn't for his edification. It's for your transformation. So understand, God doesn't get better because you prayed. Oh, Terry prayed today. I'm feeling so good about that. No! God doesn't need that. You need that. I need that. Pray for your transformation. So when you pray, just be honest. You mean I can really be honest with God? Yeah, you could really just be honest with God. You mean if I did A, B, C, X, Y, Z, which I'm not going to say out loud because y'all would run me out of church if I said it. And so I'm not going to say it. But you really mean I can go to the Lord and say, Lord, please forgive me for doing that? And yes, and oh, hey, can I tell you a little verse from 1 John 1:9? Bible says that if we confess our sins, he, God, is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So your forgiveness is promised before you even ask. So just ask. Just be honest. God draws near an honest heart. Man, the more honest you are in prayer, the closer God's going to draw. I promise you it's true. So then he goes on and says this. He ends the prayer. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Forgive us of where we failed you, Lord, and please help me not to do it again. Several years ago, I knew an old preacher, had pastored for 40 years at the time, almost 45 years, and I was going through some struggles, and he said this. He said, Terry, so I want you to remember something. Everybody's one step from stupid. You just happen to take the step. Isn't that sort of true? Isn't everybody just sort of one step from stupid? If we're not real careful, we can just jump right off of that line, can't we? And then he went on, being just a sweet, godly, wonderful man that he was. He's with the Lord now. He went on to say, but God loves you, and he forgives you, and he never throws you away. He always picks you up and uses you. The Lord's Prayer says this, Our Father, you great, awesome, powerful God, singular God. I'm not in the confusion of Caesarea Philippi where they had a lot of gods with a bunch of crazy stuff going on. I know the God of creation. He is real and he is true. Our Father who art in heaven, you're in that place of authority, that place of power and control. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your name is holy. Lord, may I never become careless or casual with it. May I never become so familiar or have a sense of entitlement that I can throw your name around like a byword. It is a holy word. So let me never be casual with your name. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, Lord, because it's better than anything down here, and it's perfect. Your will be done, because I'm going to mess up. Lord, impose your will on me. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, help me work hard, try hard, and bless those in need. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive me, Lord, of my debts as I forgive my debtors. Lord, I'm sorry I'm a sinner. Thank you for forgiving me. And help me to forgive those quickly who've wronged me. Quickly, right now, quickly, help me forgive those who've wronged me. And lead me not into temptation. Lord, don't let me step in stupid again. You know I do it, so please help me not to. Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Jesus loves you so much that he gave you the perfect model prayer to pray. If you don't have a prayer life today, please don't put the wall up. I'm not judging. This is judgment-free zone. We need to put a big sign up here, judgment-free zone. We don't do that here, right? Now, if you're convicted by the Holy Spirit, good, because that's going to bring transformation. But we don't judge. That's a different ballgame. So if you're here today and you don't have a prayer life, or not much of one really to speak of, can I encourage you, please, to take this prayer and pray it every day. Pray the Lord's Prayer. Break it down in each phrase, just like we did. And as you do that on a regular basis, you'll find each one of those little sections you'll be praying more about. You'll be thanking God more about. You'll be enjoying the presence of the Lord more. As you think about our Father, listen, you do this for a month, you won't get off of our Father for about 5 minutes, because you'll be thanking the Lord for what kind of Father he is to you. As you take this prayer and model it, it's called the model prayer for a reason, and use it as a model of how we should pray, I promise you, if you don't have a prayer life, you're going to have a great one real fast. Because you will be honoring the words of Jesus and encountering the presence and the power of Almighty God. You are loved today more than you've ever imagined. And God has a plan for you greater than you've ever dreamed. Amen? Amen. Pray with me, please. Well, Lord, thank you for loving us enough to teach us how to pray. I ignore it sometimes, God, and I'm sorry. I shouldn't. I should know better. Sometimes I don't. Forgive me. Lord, these are your people. You love each and every person in this room with an unbelievable love. Would you please, Holy Spirit, stir within them the passion to pray, the desire to connect with you, the drive to know you and your will and your kingdom, Lord, better than anything else. Lord, awaken within us the passion to be a praying people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Ushers, if you could come forward at this time. Ushers, come on down. This is the part of our service where we give. This is where we practice one of our values, generosity. So this is where we become generous. And here's our guidelines for giving. We're to give joyfully. I am not twisting your arm or begging you. I can't do that by scripture. We're giving joyfully. So if you can't give joyfully, please don't give. But please give joyfully and give generously. The Bible says, now this I say to you, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. But he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So we encourage you to give and give big time. Now, also, if you're a guest with us, the only thing we ask of you is this. Please give us this card so we can have a record of your visit. And on the back, this is how we know how to pray for you. Please, please, please let us know how to pray for you. We will pray for you if we know how. Please let us know how to pray for you. If you get this written out and don't have time to put it in the plate, No big deal. We have these boxes as you exit at all the doors, these metal boxes. Just take your prayer request, put them in the boxes. If you don't have time to get your offering together, you could put those in the box too. And we will absolutely pray for you. So please, please let us know how to pray for you. Okay? Father, we love you. We thank you for today. Now, Lord, help us to give generously and with a joyful heart. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. A couple of quick announcements. Tonight is a life group night, so it's a great opportunity for you to connect and join in with a fellowship.
Quick one. My group's meeting at the Langs. The West Bears are out of town. We're meeting at the Langs. So everything that goes with, like, barbecue pork and chicken. So
I go with barbecue pork and chicken.
You're not invited, but there you go. Jennifer, you are, but Ryan's not.
Wow,
so.
That was nice. Well, life groups are tonight, and it's a great opportunity for you to fellowship some, for you to fellowship with other believers, but also to kind of dive in a little bit deeper into the message from the morning. It's all sermon-driven, so it's questions to kind of take what we've been taught this morning and apply that to our hearts and to our lives. So if you're not plugged into a life group and you want to get plugged into a life group, see my beautiful bride over there, Jennifer. She'll be happy to help you connect. We've got life groups all over the county, but we would love for you to get in connected with those. But that happens tonight. It's the second and fourth Sunday night of every month. So we would love for you to connect and join with us with that. We have one more week of Wednesday nights before spring break. So we have this coming Wednesday night, and then we'll be off for spring break for a week. But please come on Wednesday nights. Have a great opportunity for adults in here, and then children down the hallway, and youth are upstairs in the loft. But we would love to have you come and join us. There's lots of announcements in the bulletin. There'll be more as we come up into the youth stuff. There'll be some more things as we get closer to summer, because that's when we get busy. So glad to have you guys, Pastor.
Great. Yep. Three things and we're done. One, we've talked about prayer today. I want to point out to you a couple of things that we do here at Grace to help you connect in prayer. One is about 6 months ago, Paul and Robin Hudson, many of you know Paul and Robin, took on as a family ministry project remodeling our prayer room along with their daughters, Julia and Lauren. And if you go out this door, and I'm going to ask you to do this today before you run out, 2 minutes, it'll take you 2 minutes. Go out these doors, go to the left. There's a staircase that takes you up to the second part of our building back here. Some of you didn't know we had a second part of our building, but we have an upstairs right back here. And just go up and just walk through and just look at what a beautiful space that Paul and Robin gave of their time, their money, to reshape for us. So when you come to church on Sunday, if you are burdened, man, if you are weighted down, it is far more important for you to connect with the Lord than listen to me or whoever's up here. So we encourage you to go up to the prayer room. Spend your entire time up there if you need to. It's a comfortable place to pray and connect with the Lord. So please go up, look at that before you go. Sign the book. Let us know that you came through. Just take you about 2 minutes to do that. So please do that. We have a beautiful kneeler that Ed Crosby's in our first service built for us. We've got some cushions coming for that. So when you kneel, you're not doing penance, right? So you actually deal on something soft rather than something hard. It's not that we're trying to inflict pain on you, but so we have a wonderful place for you to kneel up there as well. And so please, if you will, go up there and take a look at that. The second thing that we have is on Friday night, a ministry that Grace hosts. We don't run it, but we host it. Meets here. It's called River House of Prayer. Their information is when you leave the doors on the right side, on this side of the table, our information table, you'll find some brochures on River House of Prayer. Maurice Starling leads that. Many of you know Maurice. He's preached for me a few times. Great guy. And so we want to encourage you to look at that as well. Finally, I am thrilled, and it is a real honor and privilege to have with us today a dear friend of mine. Actually, his mom and daddy have been best friends with us for many, many years, Cade Dixon. Cade, raise your hand over here. Cade's over here. Yeah. Say hi to Cade. Cade is a young man graduating from high school who's dedicating almost a year of his time, about 9 months, traveling to 3 different countries doing ministry. Cade, tell us again where you're going to be going. Romania, India, and Costa Rica. He'll be learning. He'll be taking classes. He'll also be doing ministry. I've known Cade's mom and daddy for many, many years. Cade's mom of faith was at the hospital the night Madison was born. So that's how far back we go. Okay, many, many years up in Tallahassee. And so we love Cade and knew Cade since he was a baby all the way up to where he is today. The church is going to be helping him financially with that journey. Some of you may be led right now to help Cade. So Cade's going to be right over in this area. When you're done, come over, make the check. Cade Dixon in the memo, put trip or mission trip, whatever, something like that to indicate it. And He is on a fundraising swing and needs a little help. So whatever you feel God calling you to do, we believe in generosity. So we believe in being generous. So please, if you can help him, help. If you can't, at least go over, shake his hand, and commit to pray for him. Because traveling that far in this world, in this day, he needs the protection of the Lord. Amen? I mean, absolutely needs the protection of the Lord. So if you will, come over and see Kate for sure. Okay, stay with me if you will, and we will be done. Well, Father, thank you for our time together. Thank you for the fellowship we have. Thank you for this place called Grace Fellowship, Lord, here in Palatka, that we can gather together to learn about you, to be encouraged, to be pushed, to have courage built into our lives because the world so desperately strips it out of us through the week. And now, Lord, I pray for each person in this room that you give them an unbelievable week. Father, bless them in every possible conceivable way and manner. And Lord, we pray for Cade as he'll be leaving this fall to travel really around the globe. And so, Lord, we pray protection. Lord, we pray provision. And Lord, we pray impact. May he have an impact for the kingdom of God on the lives of people on different continents and different spots of the world. Lord, thank you for allowing us the privilege to partner with him. And now, Lord, give us a great week. Help us honor you. And Lord, please remind us to pray every day, Jesus, the way you taught us to pray. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God's blessings on you. See you next week.
Let the whole world sing the grace.